I'm Carol Hills, and you're tuned to The World. President Obama will make history on Sunday when he lands in Cuba, first U.S. president to travel there in 88 years. Obama has argued that normalizing relations with Cuba will lead to positive change on the island, the kind of change that just hasn't happened through decades of Cold War animosity. Right now, we're going to have here two different views on the president's upcoming trip to Havana. In a few minutes, a reality check on greater U.S.-Cuba business ties. First, Peter Kornbluh. He directs the Cuba Documentation Project at the National Security Archive in Washington. Kornbluh's got a seat on the official White House press plane to Havana, and he's expecting Obama's visit to generate plenty of powerful visuals.
There'll be images of Cubans lining the street, applauding the president of the United States in great masses. I believe the president will appear on Cuban television. He will go to the ball game and watch a baseball exhibition competition between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Cuban National All-Star Team. And he will bring tremendous media attention to this new policy of engagement that he is pursuing.
I'm assuming President Obama is going to make an address of some sort. Where will he do it, and what are your expectations for that?
There was some talk of President Obama making a public address on the steps of the Cuban Congress. It's a congressional building that is actually an exact model of the U.S. Congress building, so although it's a foot higher. The Cubans are fond of reminding every visitor. And, of course, that would have great symbolic and visual use for his speech. The White House has not handed out his itinerary yet, so we don't know exactly where and when he's going to make his formal public presentation. But I'm sure that the White House has spent a great deal of time giving thought to the language that he's going to use, the moderate tone that he's going to adopt, the fine line between pushing the U.S. agenda on democracy and human rights and also showing respect for his hosts so that this normalization process can go forward.
Is Barack Obama expected to meet with Cuban dissidents?
He has tactfully arranged, I believe, a meeting with the leadership of the opposition to the Castro regime. That meeting will be held, I think, discreetly. I'm not sure whether it'll be at the U.S. residency or the U.S. embassy or where.
I'm struck by how it doesn't seem as if Cuban officials have done much that President Obama can point to as meeting him halfway. Human Rights Watch says Cuba remains one of Latin America's most politically repressive countries. Political prisoners remain behind bars. Journalists and activists can't move freely. Will Cubans be making any moves on this front during Obama's visit to loosen those restrictions?
The Cubans really aren't into quid pro quos. They don't make concessions. They don't yield to demands. They don't do horse trading. And I don't think we can expect to see Raul Castro meeting the demands of the United States on human rights in a very high-profile trip from the president of the United States. The president's strategy here is to first establish positive relations, remove the threat of U.S. aggression against Cuba, which I think will help the human rights situation over the long term. His strategy is to open the doors to commerce, which affects the daily life of many Cubans, help the Cuban economy privatize, which will give much more control to Cubans, and expect that down the road that will have an impact on the evolution of the Cuban political system. Now, you know, the Cubans have several other big issues with the United States. One of them is that they want Guantanamo back. This is a part of their territory that was essentially taken by the United States at the turn of the 20th century, and they would like to see it return to Cuban sovereignty. And when the United States raises issues of human rights with the Cubans, of course, the Cubans raise issue of human rights of what's going on at the Guantanamo base. So there are actually, under this new umbrella of normal diplomatic relations, actual task forces that have been set up on both sides to discuss negotiations on the human rights issue, along with all the other issues of mutual interest between the two countries. They are at least talking about this issue.
Peter Kornbluh directs the Cuba Documentation Project at the National Security Archive. He's the co-author with William Leogrand of Back Channel to Cuba, The Hidden History of Negotiations Between Washington and Havana. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Carol.
U.S. entrepreneurs haven't had much luck in their efforts to get access to Cuban markets. John Kavalik is the president of the U.S.-Cuba Trade and Economic Council. John, you've kept a count, and it seems some 500 American businessmen and women have made the pilgrimage to Cuba in the past 14 months or so since President Obama announced his intention to normalize relations. What's come out of those visits?
Not a lot. Generally, the Cuban government has taken the position that if a Obama administration initiative creates revenue for it, then it is likely to be embraced. If that initiative costs money, then it is likely to be taken under advisement. So what we have had during the last 15 months are two small companies that have announced a desire to have an operational presence in Cuba, one manufacturing, one distribution. They received authorization from the U.S. government. They received partial authorization from the Cuban government. Now it's a matter to see if they actually come to fruition. But what we do have is a breathtakingly large number of aspirational thinkers who go down to Cuba, see 11.3 million potential customers, and believe that they have the answer. And then they're introduced to someone who knows who they need to speak with. And in the end, they come back disappointed.
So these latest announcements by the Obama administration, don't they make it a little bit easier for aspiring American business people to do business, allowing American dollars to be used in transactions? Non-immigrant Cubans can earn salaries in the U.S., U.S. banks allowing open accounts for Cubans. Won't that hasten this effort at all?
It potentially will. The challenge is that the Cuban government isn't looking at the same time frame as the Obama administration. The Cuban government has still said no or not said anything about most of the Obama administration changes. Now, yesterday, the changes that took place were dramatic because one of them, which was removing the restrictions upon Cuba's use of the U.S. dollar for international transactions, that's a very, very big deal. The question now will be how the Cuban government responds. Cuba is finding that its ability to forestall, to prevent making changes that, in essence, the U.S. government would like it to make, it's dwindling, and their options are dwindling. So,
but what's in their interest for not making the changes? I mean, if business would improve the amount of hard currency, if business would bring more to Cuba to then be able to do things with— what's behind it? Is it an entrenchment, the way things have always been, not wanting to lose control, not wanting to abandon a centralized economy? What's going on?
It's all of that. They're watching the dismantling of the revolution. Part of what President Obama's initiatives have helped to reestablish is the middle class in Cuba. And the Cuban Revolution was much about ridding Cuba of its middle class.
One thing Cuba does have, though, is an educated workforce. I mean, it's really poised to make not a seamless transition, but a transition to a pretty high-functioning country, given level of education and skills. Isn't there a way that that transfer could be made?
There is. However, the stumbling block to all of this is how we perceive what may be good for Cuba. You know, we will look at Cuba and say, 11.3 million citizens. They have a high education. They have a high awareness of U.S. brands, a high preference for U.S. brands. You have about 18% of what is the Cuban population living in South Florida, Northern New Jersey, and Southern California. You have a lot of interest. U.S. companies were there. They want to be back. But you also have a Cuban government that looks at all of that and doesn't see a lot of friendly faces.
John Kavalik is the president of the U.S.-Cuba Trade and Economic Council. Thanks for speaking with us, John.
Bye-bye. Thank you.